Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. The latest round of talks aimed at carrying the international global warming treaties into the next decade recently opened in Bonn, Germany. And in a sharp reversal of the Bush administration's rejection of the Kyoto Protocol in 2001, President Obama's special climate envoy, Todd Stern, announced that the U.S. is back at the table.
My team and I came here determined to make up for lost time. America is now once again strongly committed to developing a global response to climate change. We do not doubt the science, we do not doubt the urgency, and we do not doubt the enormity of the challenge before us.
Mr. Stern said the U.S. now plans to reduce its global warming gas emissions back to 1990 levels by 2020 and to make an 80% cut by 2050. Mr. Stern also explained why the U.S. would continue the talks among the world's 16 major greenhouse gas emitters. Many negotiators saw this Bush administration initiative as a snub to Kyoto, but Mr. Stern said it will now be useful because top U.N. climate officials will also be at the table.
This isn't a negotiating forum, but we hope that it will be an opportunity to have the kind of discussion that can facilitate agreement in Copenhagen.
The Chinese and American presidents will be able to meet and discuss climate less formally through this process. And privately, officials say it will also avoid some procedural delays in the formal UN process that have come from Saudi Arabia from the earliest days of the Climate Change Convention. Despite these moves, the U.S. is still coming under fire for doing too little, too late. Michael Zamit Kudihar chairs the working group that's charged with coming up with language for a renewed climate treaty by the final meeting scheduled for December in Copenhagen. I asked him what underlies the present criticism of the U.S.
Well, I think we're all very encouraged by the re-engagement of the USA under President Obama. The U.S. administration is caught in the position which inherited on the 20th of January, and its judgment of the best it can do with that starting point is that it can get back to 1990 levels by 2020. Now, this is 20 years later than what was required by the convention signed in 1992, ratified in 1994. The EU, by comparison, has been working on its emission limitation goal all the while. It hasn't missed out on the 8 years that preceded President Obama. And its picture is somewhat different. It is aiming to be 20% or even 30% below 1990 levels by 2020. So those are the two figures on the table, and that is why some people are saying what the U.S. is doing is not enough. Now, if you measure both efforts, EU and US, from a different baseline, from where they both were in 2005, you'll find that the reduction effort is comparable. One of the debates that is still ahead of us and that we're going to have in the next days here is this question of comparability. How do you compare effort in different national circumstances? Countries can do more or less depending if they're big or small or cold or warm, etc. What the EU has said is that it's committed unconditionally to a 20% reduction below 1990 levels. If other developed countries make comparable efforts, and it hasn't defined what that means, it will go to 30. So that's the EU's negotiating position. I guess that the EU is trying to encourage the US to go a step further than what it's already said.
So how much does the US need to do to satisfy the rest of the world, or much of the rest of the world, because you can't please everybody, that it's doing enough?
I can't answer that question, you know. The U.S., first of all, has a lot to do to convince itself. I mean, its constitutional bodies, its public opinion, its industrial and labor interests, what it can do and what it should do. From what I can understand, the U.S. is looking very closely at what China will do. China in a very different category in terms of level of development, yet the other big country around. But reducing or limiting emissions growth is not the only question on the table. That is what we've talked about so far. The other number that is important is goes with a dollar sign. How much money the rich industrial countries willing to put on the table and on what conditions to enable action by developing countries to make their fair contribution.
Let's talk about the developing countries. Mm-hmm. What are they asking for in this next major amendment to Kyoto?
It's a very diverse group, but the group as a whole is looking for strong leadership from developed countries, such as the U.S., strong leadership on cutting emissions. So there's a certain sense of wait and see. You are committed to lead. That is in the convention. Once we see what you are doing to express your leadership, then we will follow. That is what China's saying. And that's what the littler ones are saying. And then there's the question of finance. We need help from you. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's more access to technology to do what we need to do, what you would like us to do, to contribute to the global effort.
Michael Zamit Kudahar, chairman of the Climate Change Convention's Working Group.